All right, I want you to take the Word of God and go to the book of Proverbs. We have been in a series, which would have been a perfect song for the series we've been in. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. What a beautiful song. And we've been in a series talking all about Jesus. But tonight, I have so many people that have asked me to delay the intended lesson tonight, the discussion on forgiveness, because they're either at the fireworks stands or they've been shuffled to fill in next door for people, but they've been through this series. So I prayed about that, and the Lord gave me freedom to do that. I'm going to move it to next Wednesday night to be able to include those people that really did not want to miss out on that discussion, that couch session that we were going to have that I told you about last week. And then we're going to follow that up with a lesson entitled The Complexity of Forgiveness. But we were looking at the pattern of Jesus as he was the pattern of forgiveness. He's the perfect pattern to teach us how we need to strive to forgive. But it's a complicated topic and one that we need to have a bigger understanding than what most people have. So we're going to delay that 1 week, and a lot of our people will be back in place next week. And it was also, it made me feel good that it mattered to people. It really did. It made me feel good to know that the series has been resonating and that people had a desire and a hunger to hear it and were disappointed that they were, because of responsibility, is going to be called out or traveling called out this week. So I decided to do that, and the Lord gave me liberty to do that. But I have something else I want to give you tonight that I believe will be a blessing to you, and it's found in Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. By the way, the flooring in the back is looking fantastic. I'm so excited about it. Brother Ralph has done a wonderful job. He and his son have done the work, and you're welcome to poke your head in there, either one of these two side doors, and take a look at it after church. And see it. It's just about completely done, and we're excited about it.
It's done.
It's completely done. I know he was working on it today. So we're excited, man. We're going to be able to break that thing in soon and have a fellowship. In fact, you know what we need to do this Sunday night? We need to do this Sunday night because it's our country's birthday tomorrow. And, you know, we need to do something fun on this. And we need to have Creamy Creations Sunday night this Sunday night. We really do. We haven't done one this year. We did one last summer. We're due. And I was supposed to have this Sunday, I believe it was, so what's that, hon? You're gonna get the good stuff though, right? You know that I like the stuff with all the junk in it. I like the more junk the better. I like it to be crunchy and hurt your mouth because you're trying to eat it while it's so cold. But in any case, you find all of your dental situations when you're eating cold ice cream with junk in it, but we did this last year and everybody loved it. We're going to have Creamy Creation Sunday night this Sunday night and break the new floor in, and so hopefully we don't break the floor in, but you know what I mean, and hopefully it will hold up for many years. We went with the best stuff we could get. We really did get the high quality stuff, and it's rated real high. Alrighty, anyway, we're praising the Lord for that, and good to have Brother Miss King back, and good to see you guys. You guys got that glow. Debbie, you got the Hawaii glow about you. And I want to say on behalf of all of us, it makes me sick. You make me sick. I don't even want to hear about it. I don't even want to know about it. I'm too jealous to be happy for you. No, I'm kidding. I'm glad y'all had a great time. Looked like every one of the pictures were so beautiful, and I'm so happy. Are you ready to go back? You ready to go back now? Yeah? Well, you can come to Floresville. It's almost the same. It's really very much like it. There are certain places, if you look at it, it looks like Hawaii. And, you know, you got to do what you can sometimes, amen? But we're so glad y'all got back, and glad y'all had a good trip. Proverbs 12:18, there's a verse that I found in just personal Bible study not long ago and made a bunch of notes on the side of my Bible here, and then I expanded it this afternoon a little bit when I realized the Lord was going to move me to a different lesson tonight. So this just comes out of my Bible study, something that caught my attention. It says in verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs 12:18. Did y'all see that there? Let me read it again. Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll use me tonight to be able to bring a little truth out of this simple verse, Lord. Not very many words here. It's a very short verse. Kind of tucked in there among all these great proverbs that we know by heart. We can quote them, and so many mighty sermons have been made from. Yet this one has just kind of eluded me. I've never really noticed it. But this time when I read through that chapter, it caught my attention recently. And I filled up the whole side of my Bible with some thoughts that it grabbed me with. Lord, I pray that I can relay these thoughts to these people, Lord, because I know they strive to be Christ-like. And in that goal, that effort, our words are so important. And I pray that I can be used tonight to help people with this idea. In Jesus' name, amen. In Proverbs 12:18, we see, as Solomon declares, that we can use our words as something that is hurtful, like the piercings of a sword, something that pokes and digs and cuts and slices. It does harm. We can use our words to do harm, literally like we're poking them, jabbing them with a sharp instrument. Or the same verse says we can use our words wisely and literally bring health to the spirit, the mood, the outlook, and perception of people in our lives that hear us talk. Words that are helpful and not harmful to people that we are in communication with. Now, I believe that every Christian should want to use their words wisely and in a Christ-like manner. Would y'all agree with that? It ought to be a goal that each one of us set. We want to be Christ-like, even in the words that come forward from our mouth. You know, words, our tongues can reveal certain things about us. Did you know that? When you hear a person's communication, you can hear, number one, what's in their heart by what comes out of their mouth. You can hear, number two, what's on their mind, or how their mind works, or where their mind exists by words that come out of their mouth. And you can also tell people's intent or intentions through the words that come out of their mouth. It often reveals that. So we know that words are very important. And now with this reality that we should want to use our words in a Christ-like manner, this reality, I want to point out some quick thoughts. Quick thought number one. Obviously, from this verse, we see that sometimes we use our words to hurt. Has anybody in this room ever been hurt by words? There was a little rhyme we all knew as kids. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. And it makes a good rhyme, and we understand the reason it is said, because kids can be so cruel and say things that are so mean, and we've had to teach our kids to shake it off sometimes and roll on, and sometimes to dismiss it. But it's not a true statement. Words can greatly hurt. It's a biblical fact that is documented that our words can literally pierce like a sword being used to harm and to hurt. And sometimes we, and I'm including all of us, we use our words to hurt. Sometimes, point number one underneath this, here's point number A, let's put it that way. Sometimes we use our words to hurt. Letter A below this. You ready for this? Sometimes our words are used to hurt ourselves. Did you know that? Sometimes your words hurt you more than anybody else. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, if you're not careful, your words can hurt your testimony. Think about Peter, who was accused of being a Christian. And he denied it. And he denied it a second time. He denied it a third time. And after he denied it a third time, as Jesus told him he would do, man, he let out a bunch of swearing and cursing. You never noticed there was not a fourth accusation? We understand that we have to think of the words that are coming out of our mouth. Our testimony is often hurt by our own words. You know this, number two underneath that, our relationship can be hurt by our words. Sometimes we hurt ourselves in our own relationships. How many marriages have been hurt? Not because of something you did. You didn't punch your wife in the mouth. But the words that came out of your mouth had the force of a punch to her heart. And maybe she doesn't have a busted lip, but she may have a broken heart. Amen? We've done it. When we're in arguments, that's the problem with an argument. Words are meant to hurt. They're meant to be weighty, and they're meant to be a punch. Everybody's giggling because you're thinking of times that you've done it, thinking of how sharp you can be when you're mad, and man, those angry words are meant to hurt. And man, I've heard people say in counseling, you said this and you said that. And you know, and I've heard a desperate husband saying, honey, we were in an argument. Yeah, but if you didn't mean it, you wouldn't have said it. Well, you know, the truth is, foolish words are often angry words, and sometimes they're exaggerated words, and they're not often accurate words. But once they're said, they hurt, and they have a punch to them. So sometimes we hurt ourselves with our words. We hurt our own relationships, our marriage, our parenting can be hurt by words. Lose your patience with your child, and in an anger fit where you're trying to drive a point home, maybe you overstate something, and in that overstatement, a word can be said that a child never forgets. No matter how many times you say you're sorry, it's just there. It's programmed. When you get mad, you say, you big dummy. Child, little slip comes out. I'm a dummy. Goes right back in, and now you're, I'm a dummy. Even my dad said so. You know, sometimes we tell somebody something long enough, they start to believe it and behave like it. We got to watch these words. These words. Sometimes we hurt ourselves and our relationships and our friendships and our fellowships. And we've got so many people that are in our fellowship circle that sometimes when we're not careful with the words we use, it's like a sword and we hurt people. So many times in church, I've seen people get hurt and out of church, because somebody in the church used a hurtful word towards them, something that hurt them or said something that was hurtful about them. Sometimes we hurt these friendships, and by hurting these friendships and fellowships, we hurt ourselves. We can hurt our reputation. Listen, people hear us speak and often perceive us to be one of these things. They can hear you speak and the words come out of your mouth, they can perceive you to be ignorant. You know, I believe that we all need to work hard to use correct grammar. Now, we have a dialect of the people. Sometimes I understand that there are just certain words and phrases that are used, and it's a dialect of the area you live in, and I know that happens. But I've seen people that are highly educated, but you would never know it by how they speak. And they use very poor grammar, and they use things in a way that is, it's just not correct at all. And I don't, you know, I'm not trying to say we need to be judgmental people. Often that is an incorrect assumption when you hear somebody use slang or you hear somebody use vernacular that's, you know, around here we use words like y'all and I throw some words at me. What are some of the words that are commonly used? Now, you know, we have the Queen's English back here who probably watches us Americans talk, and we probably destroy the beautiful Elizabethan English of England, but there are words in America, and we like to combine words, and of course use contractions and things like that. It's part of the American vernacular, how we speak. But you know, I want you to understand though that there are times when you need to realize that if you come across as ignorant, it can hurt you. It can have somebody that forms an opinion of you that you don't want, and there are times you need to step up and try your best to speak your best. You go into a job interview and you're sitting there and you're using all this bad grammar, and he's thinking, this is the guy I want, you know, in the front office of my company. This is the girl who wants to answer our phones. You know, sometimes you hurt yourself by the words that come out of your mouth. And people will perceive that you are ignorant by how you speak. Is that true? Is that, am I talking truth up here? Now, people don't think about it, and it's not, I'm not saying it's a sin, but I'm saying in the perception of you, look, you've got to be the one that pushes your own, how you want to be perceived. And sometimes we speak in a way that people look at us and judge us as just not being very ignorant or educated. And you don't want that. You don't want to be looked at as somebody that's ignorant or uneducated. Number two, they may hear you speak and feel that you're dishonest. You're dishonest. You know, you see where a lot of people, where they get this reputation, one simple thing, when they speak, they use words that are over-exaggerated. I think that's where Trump gets himself in a mess a lot. You know, we've got the greatest economy ever. Everybody says so, you know. And you know, he'll say, you know, we've never had more jobs ever in the history of the world, never. And then they'll go fact-check it, and they'll find out that, you know, maybe back in 1938, there was an exceptionally good year, and so what he said is now a lie. And you know, I'm not trying to knock President or former President Trump, but I am saying that's what gets him in a mess a lot. He overstates. You know, I was taught something when I was a younger preacher by a very older, wiser preacher. He was talking to a group of us preachers in a meeting, and he said, guys, don't ever overstate anything. It's better for people to be pleasantly surprised than to be disappointed. And that was great wisdom. I've heard preachers get up and talk about the size of their church, and they'll take their biggest singular Sunday where they, you know, they run 200, but they had 14, you know, 1,000 on one Sunday where they, you know, gave everybody a Cadillac or something. I don't know. And they would take that and talk about it as though that's what they were averaging or running. And then all of a sudden you go on vacation and visit their church, and there's, you know, 25 people in the auditorium. And you just heard him speak at a conference, you know, yeah, we're having so many people, we're bursting out the walls. And you know, that's a guy that's overstated it. Now, here's the thing. You might have gone to his service and been, you know, just really enjoyed it. And you would not have been disappointed if he had not overstated the matter. And I've remembered that. I've always tried to speak in realistic numbers. And they have what they call pastoral speaking, you know. You know, we had about 600 last week. You know, they ask us how many we're running. Well, we're running about 10,000. We're just not catching but about 200 of them. The reality is people mess themselves up often using words that are dishonest. They're not accurate. They're overstated. They're exaggerated. People that know you and hear you do this a lot, and people that do it sometimes do it habitually. That word habitually comes from the word habit. It's their habit to overstate. So then people get to where you're not a faithful witness. They don't trust your words. They see you as a little dishonest. And it's not good. It's not good. Always do your best to be as factual as you can and not try to over, you know. I see people that get online and they put a picture of themselves when they're 19. And now they're 52. But they'll put a picture of themselves as 19. And they'll you know, everything about it is, you know, I have a job where I make six figures and everything. They don't ever take into account. I wonder, do they never figure out that they're going to one day have to meet this person that they're trying to reel in online, you know? I mean, do they not understand at some point you got to have a meetup? And when you do, they're going to see that you're not 19 and that you're not 106 pounds. I heard about this lady that went to the police and she said, my husband is missing. And the policeman said, well, you know, fill out a report. Let me ask you a few questions, ma'am. And she said, okay. And he said, ma'am, describe your husband. She said, well, he's about 6'4", got a head full of dark, curly hair, real dark. He's very tan, very muscular, and he works for a job, and he's an executive there. And the cop said, what is your husband's name again? And she told him the name, and he said, wait a minute, I know your husband. And he's about, you know, he gave his description of him. You know, he's short, fat, bald, and jobless. She said, yeah, I know, but who'd want to find that guy? We have to be very careful because dishonest words hurt us. They hurt our reputation. They hurt our trustability. We want to try our best to always be a faithful, accurate witness. Somebody say amen. That's just good advice, good advice. And I would rather somebody visit our church, even in our advertisements. I'm very careful. My staff are sitting in here. They know what I'm saying. We're very careful not to overstate what Town East is. I would rather people come in often and be pleasantly surprised than to walk in the door and be disappointed. And I never try to, some of you newer members, I've had sit downs with you where we've talked about it when you were praying about joining our church. I never ever tried to paint this as the Walt Disney World of Baptist churches. I mean, you know, we are a church with issues like any other church, and churches that we have our strong points and we're very proud of those, but we have some things we don't like talking about a whole lot. We're trying to work on those, but I've always tried to paint it with a honest brush. I mean, Brother Rick, y'all joined not long ago when we had talks, when I went out to visit y'all, I was very forthright of things I know that we need to bring up, but I didn't try to paint it with a perfected brush because you would have been very disappointed had I done that. We couldn't have lived up to it, and we would have hurt ourselves. And so being honest helps us. So your words need to be honest words. And we see that often we hurt our reputation by ungodly words that come out of our mouth. foolish words that come out of our mouth. Angry and bitter and divisive words come out of our mouth. And so I noticed that sometimes we use our words to hurt, but the person we're hurting is ourselves. We hurt ourselves. Nothing can hurt you worse than your own words. Somebody said, be careful what you say because you might have to eat those words one day. And sometimes that can be very bitter going down. We got to be careful. We've all done it. We've all done it. Now, some people use much of what comes out of their mouth to hurt themselves. Let me give you a second idea underneath this. Some people use their words to hurt others. Obviously, we see that in that context. Some people use their words like a sword. And often the hurtful words that come out of our mouth are insensitive words where we spoke without thinking it through what we were saying. Now, I'm going to share something stupid that I said one time. And I'm not trying to be funny. And I'm not proud of what happened here. But I did this. Very insensitive. See, y'all are going to judge me really bad on this. But I did it. I was standing in Circle K, which is a gas station, much like we have, who knows what a Circle K is? We have those here, don't we? Yeah. Yeah, Circle K. I was in Winter Springs, Florida, and a lady that I don't even know walked up to the counter, and I was standing behind her, fixing to buy me a big drink, one of them big polar pop things they have, and I'm standing there. And I don't know how we got to talking about it, but she got to talking about her little Yorkie Terrier. I remember she had one. She had a little Yorkie Terrier in her hand. That's what it was. And I said, I love your dog. And I started, talking to her about it, petting it, little puppy there. She said, yeah, we just got this puppy. And she said, unfortunately, the one we had for, I think she said 9 years, died last week. And my husband got me a new one just, because I was in so much grief. Now, I didn't think this through. But she told me how the dog died. And she told me with big tears in her eyes, she said, I was getting out of my car, and I didn't realize that he was following me out. And I got out, and I slammed the door. And he was getting out, and I slammed the door on him. And she said, it killed him. And I said, I wasn't trying to be funny, and I wouldn't. I looked at her, and I said, man, you must have been crushed. And she said, well, I don't know if I would have put it that way, but yes. And then it dawned on me what I said. But it was too late. She thought I was being a smart aleck. She thought I was being, and I just didn't think about that connection. See, now some of you are judging me right now, and that's why we need to have our discussion next week about being gracious and judgmental and all that stuff. I mean, how many of you have asked a lady when her baby's due and only to find out she's not pregnant? How many of you have ever done it? You've seen that Snickers commercial? Or no, it was Twix. Twix. Where they ask the guy a question and he suddenly crams a Twix in his mouth. Sometimes we need to carry a Twix around with us because, man, sometimes we hurt people by just being insensitive. Just not thinking it through. Insensitive words. Wrong word used at the wrong time. We got to be careful. We don't want to hurt anybody. I mean, how many of you have ever got up in the morning and you said, my goal is to hurt someone with my words? How many of you have ever woke up with that as a goal for your day? I thought I'd get at least one. That'd be honest. All right, Miss Sharon says, yes, I purposely set out.
We don't want to be judged.
Yes. But now, none of you have ever set it out as a goal to hurt someone with your words, but how many of you will raise your hand that you have hurt somebody at some point using your words? Raise your hand. Now, raise your hand. All right. Even the baby raised her hand. The Bible says they come forward from their mother's womb speaking lies. Lies! How many times have you woke up in the middle of the night to a screaming, crying baby who makes you think something's wrong? The truth is, they just want something to eat. I have tried it. It doesn't work when you get to a certain age. But it didn't stop me from trying, my wife. I saw it work for the kids. They would cry for a bottle. I tried it. Didn't work for me. That's right. That's right. Truth is, I don't believe any of you, and I'm not saying this to flatter you, but y'all are good people. You're good people. You love the Lord. You try to do what's right. But the truth is, probably in the last 6 months, you've hurt somebody with your words. And it wasn't intentional. It was insensitive. You just didn't think it through. You didn't think how it was going to land or how it was going to sound or how it was going to be. You just said it impulsively or said it without thinking it. And so we can hurt others with insensitive words. Sometimes truthful words said at the wrong time. Angry words. Boy, we got to be careful about that. That's a big one. And that's when the most foolish words are used, is when we're angry. Got to watch out. Number three, ignorant words can hurt others. Just things that are said, and it's just ignorant to say it. Critical words. Beloved, there is a thin line between honesty and brutality. And the truth is, some people do not know where that line is. They say things in a critical way, thinking that they're going to help you, but instead of it being a help, it's a hurt. I've seen people, I had an uncle, that he's not alive anymore, but he was one of the worst examples I've ever seen of just saying things, critical, thinking he's helping, but I've seen him literally make people cry. I had an aunt that came over, it was at the holiday, and she had been really working hard to lose weight. First thing he said to her when she walked in, he made a comment about her weight and how much she had gained weight since he saw her last. First thing, and man, right off the bat, it was Thanksgiving, we're there to eat. She ended up going to the back room, she was crying, it hurt her horribly. Now he thinks he's motivating her. He looked at her and he said, "Girl, you're sure eating healthy." That's exactly what he said. Well, it hurt her. It hurt her. Now, was the truth that she needed to lose weight? Yeah. Yeah, she let her weight get out of control. But I don't know what part of that conversation he thought was going to be helpful to her. I don't know how he thought saying that. And he didn't stop there. He said things to just about everybody in the room. It got so bad that my mamma asked him to leave because he had hurt three or four people. And he was just that way. He was a very gruff, abrupt person who felt that you know, if it's true, you should be allowed to say it. And he said several very offensive things to our family that Thanksgiving. And I'll never forget that. And I don't want to be that guy. There's that thin line between honesty and brutality. Some people do not know where that line is, and so therefore they hurt others. They say this, it's an old saying, hurt people hurt people. Say that with me. Hurt people hurt people. How do hurt people mostly hurt people? Through their words, what they say to them. And I've seen that statement be true at times, that hurt people often hurt people. That's where they express their hurt and their frustrations, often by hurting other people. Let me give you another point here, and I'm moving to the end here. Some people use their words to heal people. Look at the verse there again, verse 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. That's the group we were just talking about. The words, think about your words over the last month. How many times were they a sword piercing, digging, cutting? How many times were your words hurtful? Hurtful to yourself, hurtful to others that had to communicate with you. Words that can be just very, very hurtful. But the second part of the verse says the opposite. But the tongue of the wise is health. Now, what is the requirement to have a communication that's healthy? What is the requirement there? Who has that healthy communication? The wise, the words of the wise, the people who understand, the knowing ones. We have to have understanding in our communication. So we see that the wise can use their words to heal people, to bring good health to them. And they use great wisdom in how they speak. Now, I said a moment ago, hurt people hurt people, and I've seen that to be true. Somebody say amen. If you believe that, if you've seen that in action. But I want to build on that. They say hurt people, but I say that healed people help people. Did you hear what I said? Healed people help people. You know, sometimes the person who can be the greatest help to somebody is somebody who's been hurt in the same way but healed from it. For instance, a woman who has gone through a horrible divorce, but the Holy Spirit has healed her heart. and using principles that are wise that come from this book, she has found healing in her life and is in a healthy place, even though she's been hurt horribly. You know who can often help that woman who just went through a divorce? That person who can relate to it and can know what she's feeling and can know how to help her in a healthy way get through this. That person who's lost a child can often heal from that. I don't know that you'd ever completely heal, but you know what I'm saying. But that person could be the one who helps another parent, who can wrap their arms around them, who went through a horrible thing, but God has brought healing. And in that healing, they're able to be a healer to somebody else that's been hurt that way. Hurt people truly do sometimes hurt people. But I know this, people that are healed from their hurt can be people who help others. And you're using your words in a wise way when you're trying to be a healer to their emotions, a healer to their hurts inside their heart, their emotional hurts. No one can help a person better than a person that has been there and worn those shoes. Healed people can be instructive versus destructive. Healed people can be empathetic. They can feel your pain in a way that nobody else can. We see that people that use their words wisely to heal, they're sensitive and they're led by a desire to help and to heal others. A healed person possesses knowledge that can be used to help a hurting person. Has anybody ever found that to be true? Has anybody ever been helped by a person who was hurt but healed from it and helped you through it? Boy, if you'll take what has happened to you, give it to the Lord, let Him heal you. You can take that experience and through that experience have wisdom that gives you words to help people that are hurting. And that's much better than the other alternative of hurt people need to hurt people. Between the two, I believe that we ought to take the better path here. Take the things that have hurt our heart and let them heal, and then use that experience to give us the wisdom, to give us the words to help hurting people around us. That's a better way. Somebody say amen. A healed person possesses that knowledge. Now in verse 18, we see two types of words, obviously, and I'll give you this and we'll be done. We see here, number one, we see swords. One type of words, the negative, swords. Words that cause injury. What kind of words are swords? Well, without going into a lot of detail, let me just throw these at you. Spiteful words are swords. Malicious words are swords. Ignorant words are swords. Sarcastic words, words to make others around us feel stupid. Those are swords. By the way, I've always felt that sarcasm used in a way to hurt is a tool of cruelty. Now, all of us can use it sometimes in a way that's just meant to be fun. I had a lady tell me one time, she said, you know, Pastor Riggs, I heard you preach, and you're very sarcastic. And I said, you think? I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. That would have been bad words. No, but the reality is we can have playful sarcasm. My wife can dish it out as much as she can take it, but her and I will cut up with each other sometimes using, you know, sarcasm, and we'll do that in a playful way. But there is a line. There's a line that it can become mean and cruel. And often, you know how people that maybe are physically superior can use their physical brute to bully people and intimidate people? Sarcasm is often the bullying tool of an intellectually superior person. They like to make people around them feel ignorant and stupid. And they like to make you feel that every word you say has some, you know, that you're just stupid for saying it. And it is a bully term used by often intellectually leaning people. You know, the star linebacker on the football team will just punch you in the mouth. That's how he intimidates you. But that brainiac, who's, you know, 110 pounds soaking wet and is an A++ student in math, and you're sitting in lunchroom talking, and he'll bully you by making everything you say sound like you're stupid. And often that's their equalizer. But we do know that people can use sarcasm to hurt people, and those are swords. And we got to be careful. It's got to be obviously in a playful way. But if you're using it to make somebody feel stupid or inferior, you're using it like a sword. You've got to be careful. You can be a smart aleck. Gossiping is a sword. Discouraging and depressing. I heard a preacher the other day say this. I don't know where I saw it, but he said, I would rather hear a man say 25 curse words as to say one word of gossip. Man, that's strong. Discouraging and depressing words are swords. Foul words used to bring your mind to a bad place. A lot of people use their words to bring people around them into a bad place, a dirty place, a filthy-minded place. We got to realize those are swords. And words that are used to just simply make you feel bad about life or feel bad about yourself, those are swords. Wise words, on the other hand, we see the other type of word. Wise words bring health. So we see wise words. What kind of words are they? Encouraging. Of course, the word wise is a description of the word. It's a word that has wisdom behind it, which would be truth and honor and accuracy. Words that are sweet words are wise words. Considerate words, constructive words, things that build up people. Helpful, godly words, those are wise words. Now, we should consider our words and ask which ones we use the most. How do you think your words would stack up between how many were swords in the last month and how many were wise words in the last month? Think of the last 10 conversations you had. How much of it was wise? How much of it was swords? Now, I'm going to close with this. We must use our words wisely and know the following four usages of our words. And we've got to have wisdom in these four areas. Wisdom knows what to say. It knows what to say. Wisdom knows how to say it. Wisdom knows when to say it. Let me camp on this for just 30 seconds here. Beloved, listen to me. People grieve in church, and that's okay. One of the worst things we can do is to tell somebody who's just lost a loved one, start preaching to them about the glories of heaven and how lucky this person is. I've seen people shame people in church using their words to put people in a place of shame when they've just lost a loved one. Maybe they're crying. What are you crying for? They're with the Lord. They're in heaven. Listen to me. You're not using wisdom. Your words are not helpful. They're hurtful. They'll come to that place, but wisdom knows when to say it. When they just walked out of a hospital room after losing a loved one, it's not the time to tell them how lucky they are that they get to go to heaven. We got to use wisdom. You say, preacher, have you heard people do that? Yes, I have. And I've sat there in hospital rooms where we're all walking out, and I've heard people unwisely take their Bible and just beat them half to death with it because they're grieving. Now, what they're saying was true, and there will be a time that they're able to accept that. But wisdom knows when. You understand what I'm saying? That's just one example of many where I've seen people use their words without any wisdom, and they don't know when to say it. There's a time that we need to say things. And let me give you that fourth usage here. Wisdom knows when to be silent, when to say no words. Sometimes the best thing to say is nothing. Sometimes the most powerful thing is your presence. Sometimes the best thing you can do is just go up to somebody and put your arm around them. You know how many times as a pastor I've stood in a hospital room with somebody who's hurting? And honestly, I can't think of any wise words to say at that moment. I know all the biblical truths. I'm looking at someone that just got word that they have cancer. I don't know sometimes how to spin that into a positive at that moment, nor do I think it's probably a good idea. Sometimes the best thing I can do is just wrap my arms around them and say, man, I hate this. I hate this. Not a time for me to preach to them a sermon on faith. Sometimes the best thing I can do is just cry with them. Hug them. And say, man, this stinks. Now, I know the Bible truths, and I know God's promises, and I know that people will come to that. And that there's a time to say it. Wisdom knows when to say it. But sometimes wisdom tells us, don't say any words right now. It's not the right time. And you don't have the right words. Has anybody ever found themselves in that situation where you just don't even know what to say? Sometimes I feel like my friend when Desert Storm broke out. I was in college at Seminole State College there, and I was a youth pastor at Starlight Baptist Church, and I was taking some electives at Seminole State when the war broke out. About a week after it broke out, a recruiter came, And he was recruiting us. He gathered everybody in the room, all of us males in a room, everybody about 18 to about 21. And man, he painted a picture. He said, I'm going to tell you something. We're expecting X number of casualties. And basically, if you wait till you're drafted, you're going to just end up being a target running around the desert. You know, well, I'm going to encourage you to enlist now and take this ASVAB test and get in. Then you can pick. He told us we could pick where we go and what assignments we get. We're all listening to this. Well, I'll never forget this. We ended up in lunch, or we went to lunch, and we had a break between classes, and there were about five of us guys that had sat through that. We all ended up at the same table, and we were talking about it. And I looked at him, and I said, man, what are you going to do? Are you going to enlist? Or, you know, is this thing going to be over quickly? Or are you? We were talking about it, batting it around. And he looked at me, and he said, man, I don't know, but I'm sure of one thing. And I said, what's that? He said, whatever decision I make is going to be the wrong one. In other words, we just need to stay cool for a minute, pray this thing through. And there's times I've stood in a situation, Brother David, and I know one thing. No matter what I say, it's going to be the wrong thing at the wrong time and the wrong way. What are your words? Swords? Men, your wife? Have you stabbed her to death with the sword of your mouth in the last couple months? You've got to be careful. Parents, be careful. Church members with each other, be careful. Some people use their words to stab. Some people use their words wisely, and they bring health. Man, I want to be a doctor of my words, amen. I want to be a health giver. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Is there anyone tonight that could say, preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, but I'd sure like to be saved. If you'd give me the opportunity, I'd like to know how to go to heaven. If you'll just slip your hand up, I'll pray for you. I'm looking around the room. I know every one of you here, every one of you. But I want to help anybody that's going through that. Is there anyone that could say, preacher, you gave me some things to consider and to think about in my character life. Would you slip your hand up tonight? Anybody? You gave me some things to consider. Amen. Amen. Dear Lord, this little verse spoke to me in a way that I know I've read it before, but it grabbed my attention just a few months ago. And Lord, I'm so happy that you spoke to me, and now I've been able to speak to our church family about it. It's made me stop and consider the usage of my words. I want to be a healer, not a hurter. And I pray that tonight, everybody that's studying this verse with me, whether here or online, that they'll grab the wisdom of it. And in doing so, we'll create a better world around us. And that's a good thing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Brother David, if you'll come, we're going to take prayer requests now. I want to ask you to pray for a couple things up front. We've got several people in the church that are dealing with pretty serious illnesses. Of course, Chuck Olds, Miss Rita. I know you're going to mention all those names that have been on it. My mom and dad, my mother was diagnosed with COVID. They took her to the emergency room. She's never had it before. And then today I was told yesterday that my mom had it. I was told today that my dad has been diagnosed with it as well. So pray for Glenn and Carolyn Riggs dealing with COVID, first time that they've had it. And so they've got a lot of other issues, and so I'm very much concerned.
All right, as we go to the Lord, we got our groups up there. Remember our country, getting close to time to vote, all those other good things that we do. We definitely need to consider and remember our Border Patrol, our first responders as well. Unspoken prayer request tonight. 33. That's pretty amazing. Guy from Alabama count all the way to 33 and not get confused. That's good. I did get a report on Brother Chuck Olds this afternoon. Brother Steve Davenport called me, and Miss Davenport keeps in contact with Miss Jan. As you know, he was going through some very aggressive chemo, and they had to stop it because it was not doing what it needed to do. So they stopped it. They sent him home to stabilize. Now, they did call hospice in, but try not to get too alarmed. Hospice is there really to help Jan because he's very, very weak. Requires a wheelchair, and he requires an intravenous feeding. So she needed help with that, so that's why hospice was called in. But when they get him stabilized, their plan is to start a less aggressive type chemo and continue to treat the cancer issue. So please keep Brother Chuck and Sister Jan up in prayer. And then, of course, you heard the report for Rita tonight. I want to definitely want to pray for Miss Rita. I had the joy and privilege of working for Rita's. And y'all have had their tacos before, so what a privilege. So, and then, of course, Betty and Marvin Martin, he's continuing the chemo and the radiation treatment. Miss Bowers is at home. Continue to pray for her. She is not going to do chemo. And then, of course, Alan Oach and Brother Joe. So keep these folks up in prayer. And then Pastor just mentioned Glenn and Carolyn, so we'll continue to pray for them. And let's start over on this side tonight with a prayer request over here. Okay, Brother John.